How is life in pandemic world?
It's not been so bad for me. You know, I'm grateful for health and our safety. My husband's not been working with COVID patients, so what more could I ask for, right? It's certainly been interesting.
How have you been able to communicate?
It's been challenging. You know, I think we are fortunate to have our technology, knock on wood, has worked up until now really well. You know, so it's just a lot of one-on-one calls, emails, texts. We've done a couple things kind of virtually with, you know, we did a couple virtual happy hours, just goofy things. You know, we did like a scavenger hunt. So we all came on to Skype at the same time, and I put a list up, and everybody kind of ran around their houses and did like a virtual scavenger hunt with like kids. So stuff like that, I think, was helpful, you know, just to keep us connected a little bit. But there's nothing like, I think, being in person. But I give a lot of credit to, you know, the system that you've helped develop in terms of Supernova, because I think advisors like Rick and Dave really – they were on schedule already with calls. So it wasn't like they were missing a beat. You know, so I think during all of this, there was such volatility that everybody just was reaching out to clients, doing such a proactive kind of outreach, that when the markets kind of settled down, it was kind of like, okay, what next? And I'm like, keep going. Let's keep that activity up. So, you know, I think it's right. Each team is a little bit different, and just trying to figure out what's going to work best. Phone calls, video calls, text messages, etc. So,
yeah, what I hear is we're doing great. We're penetrating clients. We've got better relationships than ever, but I'm not bringing in the new business.
Yeah.
The new business is just waiting. You know, if they're out there, they're waiting. I don't know what they're waiting for, but they're waiting.
Yeah. One of the questions I've been asking teams here in Newtown is, you know, some advisors, I think, are blaming like, oh, the coronavirus makes it too hard to go out and prospect. And I said, so what would you do differently? What would your actions be that would be different if you were in the office? And I think a lot of them scratched their heads so far and have said like, well, I don't know. Like, I'd go to more of those network meetings. And I said, so let's think a little bit more creatively. What are the things you could do now during this pandemic while we're at home, while we have kind of this captured audience that doesn't require you to be there in person? And that could be something that's sustainable, you know, when we do get back to the offices. So it's definitely been interesting.
There, Emily, one of the things that I'm encouraging people to do is to do exactly what you're saying. If you'd be talking to your centers of influence or visiting with your centers of influence once a month, visit with them on Zoom or visit them with some technology. If you would be typically creating or want to create a mastermind group, there's no better time than right now to do that. Think about it. People want to talk.
Yeah.
What are you doing? How are you doing? What are you doing in this environment? They want to share. We just put together, Curtis Brown just put together a mastermind group of diverse managers across industry line. I mean, across corporate. Interesting, right? So he's got 10 of them. You know, Curtis is African American. And its timing is kind of interesting, isn't it?
Absolutely.
But anyway, think about him when you're thinking about what are we going to do to create a more inclusive environment, give Blacks a chance to understand our business. Curtis is, you know, because of his, I mean, he's been 40 years now in the industry and has lots of experience managing, being a regional director, assistant to the president. He's been around. So he's a tremendous resource for you all if you want him. So that comes to mind from your point of view. But to me, the idea of niche marketing, meeting with centers of influence inside niches, doing Zooms with centers of influence, and then creating a mastermind group.
Yeah.
No better time. No better time. I mean, these managers are loving Curtis for doing this. So why wouldn't either FAs, you know, across between groups want to create their mastermind group about with other guys on what are you doing to do business, but also within the community?
The community is powerful too. Yeah.
Yeah, between, you know, what are you doing as a CPA, as an attorney, as an estate planning attorney, and so forth. I mean, there's change coming. If you don't think there's not change coming, you haven't been living for the last 4 months. You know, so theoretically we could have a brand new president, a brand new Congress, a brand new Senate. And what is that going to mean for estate planning and taxes and things?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, we could be back to instead of almost 23 million exemption for estates, we could be to a million.
Yeah.
You know, what an easy place to grab some taxes, right? And then we'd be back in business, estate planning wise.
Yeah, absolutely. And we did a survey recently, and I think it was interesting, Rob. It was, I think 50% of our clients didn't even have a basic will. So talk about estate planning, you know, I think our average client now is, you know, 3-4 million, you know, and that's the average, at least just in Newtown. So I think, you know, we have significant wealth in our client base, and if 50% don't have a basic will, you know, what are they doing from an estate planning perspective? So, you know, I think our wealth way at UBS, where we're really getting into deeper questions and asking about those type of things, allows us to help uncover those things. And we can drive so much business to those estate planners and make them our best friends because we have so many opportunities, you know, to uncover, holes, you know, in their estate plan and then allow their estate planning attorneys to execute it for us. So those are the conversations that I'm proud to say that I think a lot of our people in Newtown are doing. And through that, I think we find, you know, business. You know, you're just doing the right thing. You're asking, how are you? Where's your mindset, you know, after coronavirus? You know, who are you quarantining with? What has changed, you know, from pre-corona to post-corona? So those, I think, are some of the deeper questions that people are asking. And, you know, I know Rick and Dave do that. I'm confident about that.
No, but that's right. But, I mean, think about it. The beginning of the baby boomer was 1946, is now 74. You know, that's 10 years older than kind of what we'd all been thinking about the baby boomers.
Yeah.
They've gone through coronavirus, so their mortality is front and center in their minds. They've all got something, cancer, diabetes, something. And so they're all looking at this baby and saying, you know what? In fact, I had that happen with a couple I'm friends with. You know, we haven't done anything. We're now 76, and we need to do some estate planning. And this is a person with tens of millions, okay? And they've never done anything. And they're still do-it-yourselfers with S&P 500.
Yeah.
So you think the wealthy people out there aren't available because they're all taken? That's not true.
Yeah. And I love the idea of the masterminds, and especially right now there's so many, you know, within Rick and Dave's book, you know, I'm thinking like they have parents that have kids at home over summer that can't go to summer camps. You know, what are they doing? You know, can we connect, you know, within the local community and the local, you know, client book that Rick has, a mastermind group of parents that are like, what are the activities we can do in a socially distant way? You know, what What does travel look like, you know, for really travel-minded people? You know, a wine tasting night, you know, of like, here are the best wines we were able to order online because you can't go to the liquor store right now. So, you know, I think there are, you know, those niches within Rick's book that if we could find some of those that, he, you know, tennis is obviously a little different than it was before. I think more people are out and about, but you know, what are the workouts that, you know, we could do, you know, when we're not playing with each other as much. So, my mind's definitely going, you know, to those masterminds and, the commonalities and niches, you know, within one's own book. So I will definitely be taking that to a couple teams today, Rob.
Come on, this is a really, really fun idea. You go to the family because, you know, this is our diversity issue, Emily, that we don't understand, you know. People don't know what the other person has in their brain.
Yeah.
And so we assume that they have whatever we have in our brain, right? And so I think that, you know, mastermind group business. You think mastermind group family.
Yeah.
Not that you don't think business, but you think, oh, we can make this a friendly. We'll do some friend making, and then guess what? All those people will think of us business-wise.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's where we have to understand the value of diversity on a board and the value of diversity in our boardroom, in our boardrooms. And we have to be inclusive in our creative process because what you bring is a different perspective, which all of a sudden opened my eyes.
Yeah.
You know, I open your eyes, but you open my eyes at the same time. Wow, that wine tasting thing sounds fabulous.
I could learn a lot. I'm like, tell me the, you know, the wineries that you've ordered from, you know, during, you know, COVID. And, you know,
people are so lonely, you know, they want to talk and they'd love to get together for a wine tasting, but what a fun way to do it. And then everybody, you know, instead of just a book club, well, you could do a book club too. But you could, you know, you do everybody brings their favorite wine and tells the group about their wine. And where'd you get it? You know, how do you know it? What's it like? And then everybody buys each other's wines. You know, it'd be so fun.
So, Rob, I just heard I texted Dave and Rick, and I know Dave can't join, and it looks like Rick is not online yet. So I think there was some puppy issues with his daughter's dog, so I'm not sure if he's going to be able to join us or not. So Dave said he reached out to him and hasn't heard from him this morning. So good thoughts to Rick then and Nicole. That's a family member for sure in the Rogers household. So
Emily, how ambitious are you feeling?
I would say it varies, Rob, you know, from day to day. I'm looking for, you know, that new challenge in terms of, you know, the what's going on from a diversity perspective is really, as the kids say, like, I'm woke, you know, I'm really eyes wide open. And I think, you know, where can we make a change and make a difference? And so that's something I'm really passionate about right now. So I'm talking to a lot of, you know, our advisors about how do we, one, bring in more diverse talent into our organization, and two, how do we bring in more diverse clients into our client book and our client mix? You know, I think the makeup of what our clients look like what our advisors look like. So that's kind of where I'm finding passion. You know, I think from a challenge perspective, you know, there's a new challenge every day, I feel like, out there. So one day I think I feel really, you know, motivated and pumped up about it. The others, you know, I think it just is like, let's hang on, you know, so it changes day to day, if I can be perfectly honest.
I mean, it's true. I was always looking for something that would, and I did it not for ambitions point of view, but for to vent my crazy creativity. I have a brain that I'm ADD, and so my brain is constantly coming up with crap, and it won't fly. It just refuses to be quiet. And so I'm plagued with this. So I always needed, if I was ever going to get anything done, I needed people around me that were incredibly good administrators. So I would come up with the idea and I'd hand it to somebody and say, go do this.
Run, yeah.
it cost me money, you know, out of my own pocket. I had interns and things that were very smart and very good. So I always had two interns and I always had a sales manager. And the interns were more like sales managers. Some of them were professional interns, meaning that I got them out of college.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, you know, before their next job, they were an intern for a year for me. So it wasn't like they were rookies. They would be project managers for me. So I'd come up with a project and then they'd run with it. Now, one of the projects that you all should do is to take everybody that has graduated as a firm. This would be a firm
mm-hmm.
project, which vents your national visibility, you know, and gives you the credibility of being an innovator and a person that's got the bigger picture and all that stuff. So one of the projects that we should do is take everybody that's, I mean, everybody's looking for increasing revenues. How do we increase
mm-hmm.
revenue? How do we increase revenue? One of the simplest way to increase revenues would be to take all the people that have been through Supernova, which is in the thousands at UBS, and give them a chance to talk to each other.
Yeah,
and,
that's so powerful.
Yeah, talk to what's such and such doing? What's such and such doing? How are they doing? And here's the other thing that somebody said to me, what happens with people when they grow? Why do they do so well when they go back through Supernova again like Rick has done?
Mm-hmm.
It's because typically when they go through Supernova, which is, you know, for some of them it was only 3 months, but for others it was a year, but most of them only went through for a 3-month program. They're frozen in time. Wherever they finished Supernova, whatever they adopted at that point is the only thing that they will have ever adopted regarding Supernova.
Yeah.
Everything else that they'd like to have done, they won't do. Meaning, if they worked on centers of influence and they believed in it, they'll do that. Will they do a mastermind group? No. Will they use VIPSA? No. Will they use LinkedIn? No. Will they, whatever they weren't doing,
yeah.
won't do.
They stopped, yeah.
Okay? Because they don't have any confidence. They need leadership to get them to get over the hump and practice and learn. And, you know, if they're using niche marketing, great. But if they're not, they won't use it. So what happens is the second time they go through, we release some of those inhibitions and they adopt the next levels.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So they'll try one more thing. They'll read the book, The Supernova Multiplier, and they'll read about their peers in the Supernova Multiplier, which is mostly about UBS FAs that did those things.
Yeah.
And they'll gain confidence. And then they'll try it. And then they'll do it. So you get a productivity pop from people that already are anxious to grow because they joined Supernova at one time. So by just having gone through Supernova, it tells you the person is an eager learner and wants to do this, wants to grow. But they're just fallible human beings, which means they won't do what they're not led to do.
Yep.
So they either get it from their peers, which they will do. If their peers say it's good, they will try it then. Or they get it from a coach. There's not enough coaches. So my suggestion would be to create peer groups of graduates. And then here's the key element. You know, if you don't track it, they won't do, you know.
Yeah.
They won't do it, right? So you track it, okay? You get technology people to commit to taking a snapshot in time and saying, we're going to, increase business by 20%. We're going to increase assets by 20% between now and the rest of the year. And we're going to have a champion. We're going to have a group of champions. We're going to have leaders. We're going to have all this recognition. And it costs you nothing, Emily. Nothing. None of that costs any money.
No.
And here's the key. When you lead it, you make sure you over dump your people into it. Okay? So even though it would include, let's say, your region or the country or something, you chill it with more of your players.
Yeah.
That have gone supernova, see? And then they win. Right? They win.
So, and Rob, do you have a list? Or I wonder, like, unfortunately at UBS, you know, our practice management group has kind of disbanded, you know. So now we have a teaming area that's led by, I don't know if you've ever worked with Nick Pinero, used to run our Princeton office. He is in charge of head of teaming for the eastern side of the country. And then Terry Sundberg, used to be a practice management consultant. She is running all of field development and productivity. So she would be a good person, you know, for us. I don't know what your kind of graduate list looks like, but they might be somebody to be able to partner with if you don't have it readily available.
Yeah, we probably have the list because we go back 12 years. You know?
Gotcha, okay.
It's probably 3,000 people on the list.
Wow. Half of our advisors.
It could make a huge difference.
And I think you're right. And it makes such a difference, like, if our clients just want to talk right now, you know, and be together and do it virtually, why wouldn't these people that are focused on growth want to do the same thing? So I think it's a great idea.
And what are you doing and how Supernova changed? And, you know, as Rick wasn't doing everything right, right? I mean, we had to reintroduce using the agenda. Had to reintroduce doing the executive summary. And I can't tell if he's still doing it right, right?
Yeah.
But once reintroduced, they get the rationale. They see the power of whatever it is that we've introduced since they took the coaching. So we ramp up their skill level. We make them more effective at creating a better client experience, and we do more business and we get more introductions. So, you know, we're differentiating ourselves in the marketplace. You guys put years worth of work into that program.
Yeah.
And you know how much follow-up there is?
I'm sure not as much as is needed right now.
Emily, there's none. Zero. Think about it, right? You spend hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars in training and development. You pick a winner, it works, and then you move on to the next thing, which you hope works. That's like saying we've got a cure for cancer, but we're going to go experiment to see if we can find another cure for cancer and leave that cure for somebody else. It makes no rational sense, okay? And, you know, I've moved on because the firm's moved on. But it's crazy.
Yeah, and we have a lot of, you know, I think of like Rick's team. I think of like Ben Archer. I think of John Garvey, you know, just within Pennsylvania and the three offices that I, you know, kind of have popped in and around of. Like, they're still big users. And you're right, there's certain pieces of Supernova that each one uses really, really well. Why we haven't gotten that group of people together, you know, I'm scratching my head to say, like, it's an obvious group. And if each person picks up something different that somebody else is doing, it just gives them an idea. What a great refresh, you know, and that group coaching gives us as, you know, field leaders the opportunity to, you know, have an impact on more than one or two advisors at a time. So, and they're doing all the work because they're doing the talking. We don't have to do anything. We bring them together and let them kind of, you know, coach each other. And I think it's powerful. So I love it. I'll be talking to Ted.
Yeah, why don't you do this? Why don't you get a team leader like Rick Rogers, who's just a fabulous, yourself, myself, and Ted, and have a conference call and roll out something as a beta test. And then, and look, I don't need the business. I'm busy. Look, you guys are great. I like you. I do this for fun. You know that. I just see the opportunity. You're looking for something, right? Here it is. Here's something. We're looking for something. We like the idea of the mastermind group. Why don't we create our own? Oh, wow.
Absolutely.
That's a great idea. And then by doing that, you'll teach them how great mastermind groups are, and why not do it with the community?
Repeat, with the community, with your clients, with a lot of people. Right. It makes sense. Absolutely.
Repeat,
I love it.
Repeat and add salt.
Well, I will get on that, and I'm glad you and I got to catch up for a little bit. You know, I know it's been a couple weeks since I've been there, but I'm just hoping that Rick and, everybody in his family is doing okay. Dave sends his best and says he's looking forward to our next call. So.
Yeah, but I think this was good rather than just, us just chatting. I think this is it's a really fun idea, and there's company in the industry better prepared to do something like this than you all.
Yeah, I agree.
You're there. You were the first. You were my first client and adopted it throughout the country twice. I went to every region twice.
Wow.
And trained thousands of FAs. So everybody at your firm knows someone who's been through the program.
Yeah.
And has adopted it and still likes it. And it's not like some other training program that they don't want to hear about anymore because it didn't work. They love this.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's still really relevant and it works. It works. It's tried and true, and people have adopted their own ways of doing it. And, I would love to hear, somebody that uses, the mastermind group really well, somebody that uses, a way of tracking their activity, and the leaderboards. I'd love to see, and just hear from some of these different leaders and the different tactics of how they've implemented it using UBS's technology and what they're doing today. So totally makes sense to me.
We have them all, Emily. As you know, I coached them all. I trained them. They did it. They were doing it before, or they did it while I was coaching them. They're in the book. They're in their offices. All we have to do is make a phone call, and they'd love to do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree. All right, Rob. Well, I have my marching orders, so.
Sorry. I'm still the ambitious guy that wants to run the world.
Well, Rick is calling me on the other line, so let me grab him now. And sending you and your family health and continued safety, Rob.
Thank you, Emily. Bye-bye.
All right. Talk to you soon. Thanks.